listening to Abiding Hope Church's podcast of our weekly sermons. For more information about our church, please visit abidinghope.org.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord. Matthew chapter 18 is known as the forgiveness chapter. The passage we just heard is among a context here of stories about forgiveness. So we have the story of the shepherd with 100 sheep. One of the sheep gets lost, and what's the shepherd do? Leaves the 99 to find the one. And when the shepherd finds the one, the shepherd celebrates that one. A woman loses a coin in her house, and so she empties her house, sweeps the entire house until she finds that one coin. And when she finds it, she celebrates. She celebrates with her neighbors that she found the lost coin. But this passage that I just read is often misunderstood and misconstrued. In fact, the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, our denomination, have in the model constitution, and we actually have this in our congregational constitution, in the chapter of the constitution about how to discipline members. You better be careful or we're going to discipline you. Yeah. And what it says is if one person sins, then one is to go to that one and talk to them about it. And if they don't listen, then you take two or three others who can be witnesses. That feels like bullying to me. That feels like, you know, ganging up, right? And then if they don't listen to those folks, then you bring it to the church and the church votes to excommunicate the person. Was Jesus ever about excommunication? I think it's a misuse of this text. This isn't a text about winning arguments. This isn't a text about proving people wrong. What Jesus is doing here is he says, if someone sins against you, you go and you have a conversation with that person. And what you're doing with them is you're loving them. You're reminding them that they are a child of God. You're reminding them that we're here to create a world of love and hope and peace. You're reminding them of the gospel story that God is with us. God is here, and God is creating new life everywhere. If they can't hear you, then you take two or three others with you, not to gang up on them, but to witness. You know what the Greek word for witness is? Martyr. Martyria means to testify. It doesn't mean to prove a point against people. It means to tell the story of Christ, to tell the story of God's love, to give them more stories, not just from one person, now from several people, about how God is breaking into this world and how they're being called to be a part of what God is doing in the world. If they don't listen to the two or three, then you bring it to the church. Why? So the church can pray for them. So the church can give them more stories of God's work in the world, what God's working to get done in the world, and invite them back into participation in God's story. It's not about excommunicating people. And it says if they don't listen to the church, then you treat them as a Gentile tax collector. Well, how did Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? He ate with them. He spent time with them. He showed compassion and mercy toward them because they didn't know the gospel. They didn't know that they were God's children. They didn't know that God is here. And so this isn't a passage about excommunication. This is a passage about love, about forgiveness, about compassion. But we have to admit, forgiveness is hard. It's really hard, especially if somebody truly harms you, especially if somebody does something egregious toward you or toward someone you love. When I was in my early college days, a person did something horrible to someone I love, and I was furious. I hated that person. I literally wanted to kill that person. I had that in my heart, a desire to kill, a desire to make someone else suffer. I carried that. If I had come across that person, who knows what would have happened, but it wouldn't have been good. And I carried that. And then I went to seminary to be a pastor. And I still had this hatred, this grudge. And I didn't know what to do with it because I had been raised in the church to forgive and forget. Have you ever heard that? Forgive and forget. And I couldn't forget. You know, the Bible doesn't actually say forgive and forget. I don't know where that ever came from. I don't know that we can forget. Sometimes it's important that we not forget, especially in situations of extreme abuse. We don't want people to continually subject themselves to ongoing abuse. And so forgetting isn't the goal, but forgiving is. And so I remember this Saturday. It was the first Saturday in May. I had a day off, no classes. And this first Saturday in May actually was the first nice day in Central Ohio that year. Anybody who's grown, you know, spent time in Ohio, you know what I'm talking about, you know. That big yellow thing was actually in the sky that day. And so I grabbed a blanket and just reached for a book. And the book I grabbed was Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And I grabbed that book. And did I hear a woo? I thought I heard a woo. Yeah, excellent. And the C.S. Lewis fans over here. So I took Mere Christianity out, and I laid that blanket out on the grass in the common area. And I laid there in the warmth of the sun, and I began reading. And I got to the chapter on forgiveness. And I found myself weeping. Because what C.S. Lewis said is he said, forgiveness has nothing to do with condoning, ignoring, just pretending things didn't happen. He said, in fact, when bad things happen, we need to name them. We need to identify it. We need to point to it. He said, what forgiveness is, very simply, is choosing not to wish the other person to hell, but instead being able to pray for them, inviting God to act in their life in such a way that they're changed, they're transformed, so that they never do again what they did to you. And I was weeping because for the first time in my life, I realized I can do that. I can choose not to wish this person to hell. I can choose to pray for this person and ask that God would act in his life and change his heart and make it so that he would never do to another person what he did to my loved one. And you know, in that moment, I was free. I was released. The weight of that anger, the weight of that hatred, the weight of that animosity was gone. And don't you know the Greek word for forgiveness, for forgive, is aphiemi. And aphiemi means to let go, to release, to be unleashed. And what forgiveness is, it's not just unleashing the other person, it's unleashing us. It's unleashing the forgiver from the contamination of the hatred and the violence that dwells within us. I have another confession to share with you. About 5 years ago, a person did something to me that hurt a lot. It infuriated me. And so I blocked the person on my phone. If I do social media, I would have unfriended that person, you know. But I blocked this person out of my life. I refused to talk to him. I refused to have any contact with him. He couldn't get to me, and I certainly wasn't going to reach out to him. And I've been carrying this anger inside of me, and I have felt like a hypocrite because I stand in front of you and preach love. I stand in front of you and preach forgiveness, but I knew I had this one person in my life that didn't deserve to be forgiven, didn't deserve to have a relationship with me. And my inner values were not aligning with my outer way of life. And so as I went on sabbatical, one of my goals was to reconnect with this person. He didn't know it was coming. It came as a surprise. But I will tell you, I left for sabbatical in May. I didn't reconnect until August. I just wasn't ready. But I was getting ready to come back from sabbatical, and I realized I need to do this. And I called the person on the phone, and he was surprised to get my call, and he thought there was an emergency, because there's no other reason why I would call him, right? And I said, no, there's no emergency. I just want to talk. And we never brought up that thing that happened 5 years ago. He didn't bring it up, and I didn't bring it up. There was really no need. We just talked. I checked in on his life. He checked in on mine. We talked about our families and what's been going on. We talked about politics and sports and different things, the craziness of our world today. And I invited him and his spouse. They don't live in Colorado. I invited them to come and visit us and come and stay with us. And the relationship has been rekindled. And once again, I was set free. I was set free from the anger, set free from the hatred, set free from this disjointed feeling that I have these values, but I'm not living my values. And I don't know if he was set free at all. Hope he is, but I know I've been set free. You know, Jesus was the best at forgiving. He could forgive in ways that are just astounding. The best instance is when he's on the cross. I talk about it in every sermon because it blows me away, the depth of his love as he's on the cross. These soldiers had just driven nails through his hands and his feet. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They were mocking him, spitting upon him, making fun of him. And he's looking at them. And he didn't curse back. He didn't attack back. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. You see, Jesus didn't just see people. He saw into people. I think he had a depth of understanding that those men who were the Roman soldiers who were doing this thing, they probably had been raised their whole lives to be taught that violence is the right path for life, that might makes right, that the goal in life is to be powerful and strong and domineering. And they demonstrated that as Roman soldiers. And plus, they're doing what they're told. These Roman soldiers didn't live in Palestine. Their families are over by Rome, over in Italy somewhere. And they've been sent out into this foreign land. It couldn't have been an easy life for them. And so Jesus didn't just see them. He saw into them. And he had compassion for them. People who harm us, there's a story there. There's something going on in them. How have they been harmed? How have they been wounded? What has happened to them to cause them to be mean or cruel or vicious? We don't know. We don't always know. But I do know that when we respond to violence or hatred, with more violence and hatred, we create a world of violence and hatred. The only path forward for creating a world of peace is to actually live peace. It's to live love. It's to live compassion. On the third day after Jesus died, God raised him from the dead to show us it's love and life that is the path. It's not hatred. It's not crucifixion. It's not violence. It's love. It's life. That's the only thing that can transcend hate and violence in our world is love. There's no other way to do it but simply to love. And so I'm guessing I'm not the only person in the room here today who has carried some hatred, who's carried some resentment, who's carried some animosity, some grudges. I'm probably not the only person in the room who has struggled to forgive. But I want you to hear today that forgiving others isn't just setting them free. It sets us free. It frees us to live fully as the people we were created to live, to be. It frees us to demonstrate in our homes and in our communities that love is more powerful than hate. We've got these children here today. This was gorgeous, by the way, just absolutely gorgeous. And I love how the kids participated in baptizing each other. That was beautiful. But what's going to shape these children as human beings isn't school, reading books. What's going to shape our children as human beings is what they experience at home, how they experience mom and dad dealing with struggles and adversity, how they experience grandparents showing and modeling compassion and gentleness and forgiveness. That's how we're shaped and formed. It's through our relationships that shape and form us as people. And what Jesus is doing is he's saying, okay, I'm going to show you how to do it, but now you got to go do it yourselves. You got to forgive when you're harmed. You got to return love for hate. You've got to demonstrate that relationships in life are the most important things in the world. And the good news is we don't have to do this alone. We have a community like this to walk alongside us, to help us, to remind us, to guide us. And so just as I challenged the kids this week that if you get harmed in some way, work with mom and dad and say a prayer for that person. Send love toward that person. I want to encourage you, if you're carrying something, to also work on that this week. And if you need help, reach out. Reach out to someone you trust. Reach out to somebody who can walk alongside you and encourage you in this direction. Because we're not created to live contaminated lives. We're created to live full, whole, complete lives. And that only comes through love. God loves each of you, and I do too. Amen.